Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank our senior pastor for this opportunity to minister to God's people this morning. Wherever you are online, across the earth, in India, in Africa, Ghana, and Nigeria, wherever you are, God will touch you. You're welcome. This morning, before we start, I would like us to dive into a confession for 2025, a powerful confession. You know, it's like every year you read it and you're like, man, this is powerful. Will there be anyone that will top this? And then next year comes, another one comes, very powerful. And you know, God is so faithful. This confession, if you have not been reading it, meditating on it in your quiet time, please, I encourage you to do so. There's a lot of it, those stanzas. Please, on the other board, are we ready? 2, 3, go. 2025, my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led, I am ahead. I am blessed, I am the head. I have rest on every side and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ, I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by His mantle. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountains? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder. The lion and the dragon I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom. Jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Please, let's be seated. So this is March the 9th. This is the last month of the first quarter. Remember, I always like to talk about taking stock of where we are. A wise man will always sit back and ask and analyze whether he's on track with what he decided to do at the beginning of the year, whether the projects or the goals I have are being met. Am I on the right track? Businesses will ask you. We need a quarterly report from our managers. Managers will ask you, okay, the goals for the year, we need to sit down and talk. Where are we? Spiritually, same thing. Encourage us to go back, look at the goals that we set for ourselves, begin to see if we are on track or we are out of track. Begin to see if we are meeting our milestone demands or we are not. Praise the Lord. So this morning I would like us to talk about something, the big picture, God's end game. The title of my message this morning is The Big Picture, God's End Game. And I would like to prefix it and draw inspiration from the story, a very fascinating story in the Bible, story which when you start reading, you want to finish it because you want to know what happens next. What happens next? Okay, this happened. What happens next? And that story is none other than the story of Joseph. Praise the Lord. You say, oh, I like the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, I see the hand of God. People believe in God. You know, just for God. They did not have Jesus like we do. We have the opportunity, we have the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ. Of having the Holy Spirit in us, you know, to direct us each day of our lives. But in the Old Testament, people went by faith. That is why God promised Abraham, because Abraham, by faith, believed that God was. When he was in the land of the Chaldeans, nobody had faith in God. Nobody believed in God. But he stood up and you know, made himself a believer in God. And for that reason, God made a promise to him. And that promise that God made him, along one of those promises, when God met him in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. If we can read that. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, God was talking to Moses, to Abraham. Then his name was still Abram. And God was telling him, this is what will happen to you. Your offsprings. Are we there? So God said to Abram, know for sure that your descendants will be strangers living temporarily in a land, Egypt, that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Praise the Lord. Put in mind, that is a big picture. God told Abraham that this is what will happen to your descendants. For 400 years, they are going to be enslaved in Egypt. You ask yourself, how will they go to Egypt? That is where Joseph comes in. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. And we have the story of Joseph there. Praise the Lord. The big picture, God's end game. The Bible says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And goes on to say, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah. These are Dan and Naphtali. And with the sons of Zilpah, which will be Asher and Gad, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. The coat of many colors was the source, the beginning of his trouble. The beginning of Joseph's trouble was that Joseph was given a coat of many colors that generated envy among his brethren, jealousy, strife, evil towards him. His father blessed him with this out of goodwill, out of love. His father appreciated him that he could even come back with reports about what was happening in the field. He told his father, look, these my brothers are not treating your sheep well. They are not doing the right thing. And for that accountability, Joseph found favor before his father Jacob, Israel. Little did he know that God had activated his small milestone to taking the children of Israel where? To Egypt. God had already orchestrated this and had said, it is time for me to send, to fulfill my promise to Abraham. And Joseph will be that tool to open the way. Remember, for those of you who are familiar with the story of Joseph, he was a dreamer. He had big dreams. And he was not shy of sharing his dreams. He did not matter, or in his youth, remember it says he was 17 years. In his youth, he went out when he had his visions, he would come and share it. You know, and say, look, this is what God has said. We're out there walking in the field, you know, your sheets fell on the ground and they were washed, you know, and their father was, are you saying that one day you have dominion over us? The brothers whom he reported, the brothers who had already envied him, were angry with him, you know. But he was a dreamer. Big dreams. In his heart, he knew that one day, this dream will be fulfilled. Why did he know that? Because it did not come once. It came twice. It was confirmed. And all along his life, Joseph had things twice. Confirming. We'll see it as we go along. I'm just building here. So Joseph, with his coat of many colors, decided one day, the father sent him to go see what the brothers are doing there in the field. And we all know the story. He went there and the brothers, before he even came, and his coat of many colors just maybe gave him up and said, look, that's the guy, coat of many colors coming. Let's deal with him. Let us deal with him. He was already announcing himself. His gift announced him before he came, and people were already plotting bad against him. Same thing with us today. There are some blessings we get and people envy us. There are certain things that you get and people are like, why him? Why? Is he so special? Some promotions you get at your job site and people are like, why is he so special? Who does he know? You know? No, he knows nobody. He knows God. Praise the Lord. And so when God comes through your job or wherever you are, whatever tent he has put you, and God blesses you, you have to pray a lot. Because some people will not be happy with what the success you are getting. You know, I've had so many testimonies of people who are in their job and just because of just simple envy. People want to run you down. People want you to have bad report. There's a goal for it. They want you, because surely they have seen that you have God's grace and favor. Surely whatever you touch prospers. It's the same thing with Joseph. He was just being honest, but he was hated for his honesty. He was just being honest to his father, but his brethren hated him for him. Little did he know that God had orchestrated a plan for him to be sold to Egypt. Amen. And so when he was sold to Egypt, I don't want us to go through all the story, but you know the story of Joseph. When he was sold to Egypt, who bought him? Joseph was bought in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. The Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. Praise the Lord. Who bought him? Potiphar. Strategic. That was a strategic purchase. Why? Because his proximity to Pharaoh. God will position you where he knows that you will fulfill your end game. Amen? So that's why it's very important that decisions we make that are life-changing must be considered and decided in a place of prayer. Amen. There are many people who have lost the way, the path of God, because they did not consider prayerfully the decisions they were about to make, where they are about to move. It's exciting, you know. The world has always been waves. There are waves of migration, like animals, where people will always migrate where they want, they have opportunities, right? People always go where they have opportunities. There was a gold rush where people ran, where everywhere in the world, people were coming all over the place to come to California during the gold rush from Asia, from Africa. That's why if you go to California, you'll see all sorts of races. They are there because there was a gold rush, people were coming. So it's the same thing. We will not respond to the wave of the world. That is not how we will respond. I will not go to Texas because everybody is going to Texas. Hallelujah. Good as the weather may be, right? It can be a very suitable weather for people like us who are from Africa where it's warm. And everybody keeps telling me, hey, Kermit, come to Texas. You will enjoy the weather. I say, yeah, but that's not what God has said. It is you, it's not God. So if I prayerfully say, God, where do you want me to go? When that time comes, God will tell me, stay or go. Then will I consider. But I don't have it in my mind. Praise the Lord. I don't have it in my mind. We should prayerfully consider where we go. Because God, when God triggers the path to his end game in your life, he has put milestones that will push you towards that end game. Praise the Lord. Little did Joseph know that Potiphar, who bought him, had a link with Pharaoh. You know? And the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, in verse 2 of the same Genesis 39, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He was a prosperous man. Joseph was positioned in a place where he saw prosperity, but was that his end game? That is not what God had for him. If it were us today, if you read at his goodness in verse 3, it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had, that he did, to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Hallelujah. The Lord blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. Why was God blessing Joseph? Why did God make him so prosperous? Why? Some of us, you know, at this point, some of us will be like, okay, you know what? I have found favor before my master. And I'll do like Nehemiah did. I will go before my master and I'll say, give me leave of absence. I want to go back home. I had a dream that my brothers bowed before me. These are my brothers who sold me. I want to go and tell my father. And when I tell my father, they will come bowing before me, begging for forgiveness. You know, that's how some of us will think. Some of us will want to speed to make this dream come true our own way. He was a prosperous man. He could do that. He could take animals and go and tell the father, look, this is what happened. God has blessed me. I am the master over a captain of Pharaoh's guard. Can you imagine? But you know what? My brother sold me, Papa. Daddy, they sold me. You cannot believe. I begged for my life. This man sold me. Knowing fully well that this man will come and bow before him and beg for him to forgive them. That's how some of us will think. But that's not how Joseph thought. That was just the beginning. Amen? This was just the beginning. God had an end game for him. It is said that the man had no time. The captain had no time for whatever he owned. He only had time for the meal that was put in front of him. So when he came back home, he knew that, okay, I just want my food. I don't want to know what happened in the field. I don't want to know what's happening in the house. You know, maybe Joseph had become so comfortable and God was like, oh no, I have brought you in a place of plenty. Now I want to take you in a place of lack. And so the next phase of this God's plan was triggered. And Potiphar's wife showed up. Danger came. And the Bible says in verse 10, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. What's with Joseph and garments? This was the second garment he's losing, amen? You remember the first garment the brothers took and took it back to their father and said, look, this is what happened to your son. That garment, maybe he cherished the garment, but God took it away from him and said, that's not it. That's not your fresh oil. Amen? That's not your fresh oil. And so he became prosperous and maybe bought himself an Yves Saint Laurent. Right? You know what an Yves Saint Laurent is? See, that's the only one I remember. I know there are many of those brands out there that if you put on and you walk somewhere, people will be like, okay, this man carries that thing they call money. Right? This man has statues. Maybe with his prosperity, he bought himself a garment that he will wear and people will be like, yes, Joseph, you have arrived. But even that garment was taken from him. And that garment was the source of his trouble. Amen? Because even that, it is through the garment that Potiphar's wife used to accuse him. Praise the Lord. But God was still planning. God was still working. And so Joseph left a home of plenty and he was locked up. In verse 19 it says, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was getting closer. Amen? He was getting closer to the king. God was still walking. God was still there in that prison with him. He said, but the Lord was with Joseph. God showed up again and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Wherever he was put, whether it was in Potiphar's house or in this prison, God made sure his favor followed him. Praise the Lord. I tell you, when you are in God's plan, wherever you are, you believe that it is God's plan. Amen. Things should not come your way and you're like, where did I go wrong? What happened? Why is this thing happening to me? No, not with Joseph. You know, in all this, the Bible never tells us, or I mean, we've not heard yet that Joseph complained. Amen. We have not heard. He did not say that Joseph met Potiphar and said, look, your wife is not telling the truth. You know? So he was put there. But the favor of God was with him in that prison. In that prison. Even in the prison, Joseph was shining. Even in the prison, Joseph was shining. Joseph, the man of dreams. Even in the prison, he was still shining. He left a pit and came into a house where he became prosperous. And to him, maybe he was like, I am going up. But then there was a bump on the way. He found himself in prison. Some of us will lose hope. He said, this cannot be. I already went through the pit. Why am I going through the dungeon? This cycle. And people will say, oh, there's a cycle of, there's a curse in your family. You have to go and look at it. For us believers, when those curses, if we have cycles in our family, God will reveal them to us. But there are certain things that God will allow us to go through because that is the right path for us. That is his path for us. We should not listen to people by the corner, by the wayside. Don't listen to those advisors who think they know more than God. Who think they have been anointed to give you the oracles of God. Don't listen to them. This 2025 is a year where we have to know God more. Remember, we talked about habitual fellowship with God the last time. It's a year where we have to stay. Amen. It's a year where we don't have to worry. Like the pastor said, there are troubled days ahead. There are troubled days ahead. There are trouble. If you open your eyes and you sense in your spirit, you know that there are troubled days ahead. But you know, that's why the first in that confession, the first line there, the first declaration is shalom. It's shalom. There's a reason why it's shalom. There's a reason why God said, enjoy my peace first. Because there are troubled days ahead. Enjoy my peace first. Because you have uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. Why will you have breakthroughs? Because you find yourself in these situations where God will have to come in. Praise the Lord. But Joseph was still faithful. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. Praise the Lord. Now we need to get into a point where at our job sites, at our families, you know, when things are entrusted to us, people need not to worry. They need to call you up and say, do you know what? I hear the state is coming next week. Your DON, okay? Or your manager, your director. You say, the state is coming next week. I know you got this covered. I'm going for a vacation. I'm going for a vacation because I know you got this covered. I'm going with peace of mind because you have this covered. We need to get to that position, that point. Amen. Where people will know that, look, if we give this assignment, you know, I have, my first job was in a nursing home, so I'm a bit familiar with the health sector in America here. You know, when you are a nurse, you come inside, and my wife also is a nurse. When you are a nurse, you come inside, they give you assignments, right? They say, okay, this section is yours. This other section is yours. This other section is yours. And the nurses know that not every section is the same. Amen. Some sections you go there, you enter into a room and the person looks at you like this. Just the way you look, the person starts frowning. You know, you have to deal with it. But we have to get into a position where section does not matter. Amen? It doesn't matter. Just give me. Opt to do things while you're at work. Opt it. Say, we have this project we are trying to do. The manager is like, before he even says, just say, oh, it's okay, manager. Just give me that project. I'll deliver it for you. And the manager will have no fear, because you have already proven that God's favor is with you. Wherever Joseph was placed, excellency prevailed. He was excellent. Remember, it is because he was accountable that he got that garment. It was because he was faithful and the favor of God was with him that he became head of Potiphar's house. And it is because he had that favor in him in prison, a young prisoner. Contrary to what we see on TV, where if you get into a prison and you want to show too much, they will come and meet you and tell you, hey, this is not your domain. Before you came, we already have a system here. Who are you? But Joseph got into prison. Not long, he was made the head of the prison. Unheard of. A young prisoner. And a young prisoner who was not even Egyptian. He was Hebrew. Favor followed him. He was not limited by his race. He wasn't. He did not say, no, this is not my territory. Let me behave. He did his work and his work spoke for him. You know, your gift will always make a way for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us continue God's plan, God's end game. The Bible says, if we continue reading, the Bible says there was a time when Joseph met some two prisoners, the butler and the baker, who were from Pharaoh's house. And he asked them, what's going on? Long story short, he interpreted their dreams, and it came and it happened the same way he said it. But you know, that was the beginning of God, of Joseph's going out, of enjoying his, why God brought him out of his people. Because the Bible says the butler was not killed, the baker was killed. The butler had direct access to Pharaoh. The butler was the one pouring Pharaoh's wine. And so the butler had Pharaoh's ear. So whatever the butler said, the Pharaoh could listen. You know? And so God brought around Joseph the person who was going to introduce him to his purpose. Amen? God will bring around you people this year who will introduce you to your purpose and plan. Hallelujah. So you have to pray each day that, Father, the people I encounter, may they add value to my life instead of taking it. Amen. May they add value. The butler added value. Be it. How be it? It took a bit, sometime. But at the end of the day, it still remembered Joseph. And the Bible says when Pharaoh had his dreams and he needed interpreters, his magicians and his famous soothsayers, they could not do anything. They could not interpret it. You know, you don't just interpret a king's dream when you have not received revelation. That dream was from God, and only God could give the interpretation. No matter their mediums, they went. Those spirits said, nah, this is not us. This is not our domain. We don't know where this is from. We do not know. It's like a difficult math problem they give you when you go and do a math course, and they give you some math you have read until, and they bring it, and you are like, this is not what was taught. There was no example like this one. Where is this from? That is how that dream was. It was simple to Joseph because he had the revelation from God. And when Joseph began speaking, it was so easy, and Pharaoh was so convinced that no, this can only be God. It's so simple. And Joseph told Pharaoh exactly what the dream was. The Bible says in chapter 9 of Genesis 41 that then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults these days. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, and I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, specific, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Two dreams. Joseph interpreted two dreams. And then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. But look at what Joseph did. And he shaved himself. And did what? And changed his garment again. Amen? It looks like Joseph was a neat guy. He was clean. He knew how to present himself. He did. And looks like Jacob saw it and said, look, I'll give you a garment. Many colors. Maybe today you wear blue, tomorrow you wear red. Why not just give you one that has a hybrid of all those colors? You know? But the Bible says he changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh told him his dream. Listen to what he said in verse 16. That's Joseph. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of what? Peace. Praise the Lord. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of shalom. If you look at the confession, it's like Joseph had all this here. Joseph told Pharaoh, God shall give you an answer of shalom. Joseph, who was in prison because of his interpretation of the dreams, he saw Jubilee. Means his faults were forgiven. It means he was not going back to that prison. Praise the Lord. And then Joseph, who was a Hebrew kid, when he spoke, Pharaoh looked at him, did not see Hebrew in him, saw an answer, a solution, and so gave him an uncommon breakthrough. And he just broke out. Right? And then in verse 41, and he says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I accept thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of what? Of fine linen. Garment has come again. But this time on another level. Another level of linen. Joseph had all the 2025 in him. Praise the Lord. In one go. Just like that. Peace. Jubilee. Uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. And the garments. Fresh oil. Pharaoh told him that your garment, that spirit, that is not what you need for the work you have in front of you. That's not what you need. I'm going to give you a new garment. A garment of royalty. Because Pharaoh told him, the only thing that you will not have access is my throne. Everything is yours. Praise the Lord. Everything is yours. Joseph, who loved his garments, lost his father's garment, lost his garment to Potiphar, was given linen, fine linen, And the linen that the Pharaoh gives you, you can just imagine the quality. It was not fake or counterfeit. It wasn't. It was a real deal. Praise the Lord. God had elevated him. Because God was in the process of fulfilling his promise to Abraham to bring the children of Israel to Egypt. Position them to be slaves for 400 years. But there was a purpose for that. In that same chapter 15 of Genesis, God said, I am doing this because I have to revenge the Amorites. Their iniquity is not yet full. Remember, say their iniquity is not yet full. So right now you don't have the resources, Abraham. You cannot fight the Amorites. But you know what? I am going to remove you from your place of comfort here. I'm going to send your children to Egypt where they are going to go through suffering, build character, come out and then fight and come and avenge these Amorites. These Amorites. That's just it. The end game was to come and defeat the Amorites. But Joseph was the main tool God used to usher the children of Israel into Egypt. Praise the Lord. So we cannot understand the way God does his things. We can only marvel when he does them. We can never question the way God does his things. We can only marvel when he does them. And there's something I want us to learn from Joseph. Joseph was not vindictive. Joseph was not a vindictive person. You know, that was a fear of his father. Before his father died, he told Joseph, please forgive your brothers. You know. But Joseph had already shown that he had forgiven his brothers. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 45 verse 5 that now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Big picture. Joseph saw the big picture. Joseph knew that, look, God was preparing me to save life. I accept the pit. I accept the prison. If it had to preserve life. He goes on to say in 7 that, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He told the people who sold him, you know, remember that the original plan was to do what? To kill him. That was the original plan, to kill Joseph. But Judah spared Joseph's life and decided to sell him. He did not keep things in his heart. There are people in your life, there may be people in your life that you've not talked to because they wronged you. Not because you wronged them, but because they wronged you. Rightfully, you can be angry. But if you want to fulfill God's plan for your life, you have to let go of this grief and anger. Praise the Lord. You have to let it go. Joseph had one thing in his mind, to save the world from hunger. That was his plan. He was a humble man also. Because if you look at when Joseph was asked, when Pharaoh asked Joseph, okay, this is your dream that you've told me. What do you suggest that we do? Look at what he said. In chapter 41, verse 34, he said, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint who? Officers. He said, let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. In his mind, he was giving Pharaoh an organigram, organizational structure on how to go about this thing. You know, he said, appoint people, officers. They'll report to you. They will save. They will keep. They will do everything. That was a simple thing for Pharaoh to do, right? Easy. He was a Hebrew guy. I'm sure he never envisioned that Pharaoh will come and say, okay, you are the Hebrew guy. We want you. No, he said, and let them gather them. Gather all the food of those good years that come. I lay up corn under the land of Pharaoh. I let them keep food in the cities. Some of us will be like, okay, it is now time for me to sell myself before Pharaoh. Pharaoh, go do a background check on me. When you do a background check on me, you realize that I first landed in Potiphar's house. When I landed in Potiphar's house, go and ask. He became so prosperous. Whatever I touched was just flourishing. I was in charge of his house and in charge of his field. So the animals, well, the Egyptians were not their shepherds, but the culture, everything that you planted on, I was in charge of it. And that was not all. Go and ask your captain of your officer in your prison. Go there. They will tell you that when I went there, the newcomer became the boss. I became the boss not because I was strong. I was just a young man. I became the boss because God's favor was on me. Everything I touched was just flourishing. So you know what? It is good that you asked me this question, Pharaoh. It is good. If you can just give me an opportunity to show you what I can do, that will be very, very good. He did not say that. Amen? No, he did not. He said, look, appoint officers. Take care of it. Officers will take. I've given you the blueprint. Just follow it. You'll be fine. But that was not it. God was about to break through and break out in his life. God was orchestrating already. And God told him. And Pharaoh told him, no. Even the people who were with Pharaoh, they were like, this man, this is the guy. This is the man we want. Because of his humility. He did not sell himself. God sold him. God interpreted him. And they saw the interpretation of the dream. And then they said, it is only God who could have given him this. So because God is with him, you be in charge. Praise the Lord. The anointing, the fresh oil of God on us will pave ways for us. Amen. This year. Amen. The fresh oil that God has for us this year, it will pave the way for us. We will not need to sell ourselves. We will not need to talk about ourselves. Our actions will speak for us. Amen? Our actions will speak for us. So don't be afraid that this year, oh, what's going to happen? I'm looking for a job. I want this particular job. I remember a sister was sharing with us the other day, and she said she's looking for a job. I said, look, you are enough to become supervisor D.O.N. Go for it. Don't bring yourself low this year. This year is a year where we have unprecedented breakthroughs. Go for it. The mind that we have this year, we must have this year, is that we are going out with that mantle, approval, seal of approval from God. That this year, we are going to enjoy peace. When the world will be fighting and abusing and crying, God's shalom will be with us. We'll be able to say, well, there's nothing I can say. All I know is God's peace is with me. And I march according to that peace. Wherever you go, family meetings, wherever we are colleagues, there are things out there that people will say. But keep your peace. Like Joseph told Pharaoh, peace. Keep your peace, Pharaoh. Don't fret. Don't fear. Keep your peace. When they share with you things, personal things about their life, tell them, I'll pray for you. And pray for them. Pray for them. They will be happy. You know, one of my colleagues on Wednesday, and I went in her office. I said, "How are you?" And she said, "Well, I'll be leaving. I'm going for a procedure." I said, "Oh, it's okay. I will pray for you. It will be fine." She said, "Oh, I really appreciate it." And I prayed for her. Praise the Lord. We are carrying peace with us. We should go out there with that peace, knowing fully well. And your debt will be canceled. From places, areas you don't even believe. If I tell you what God has done for me, you will not even believe. I'm telling you. But God has been faithful. That's why I know that God has a plan for each and every one of us this year. And we should not be led by the roadside. We should be part of this. Our families should be part of this. Our children should be part of this. Praise the Lord. We should speak of it every day. We should habitually confess it. Pick one. I picked one yesterday. Say, "I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity." That was mine yesterday. I dwell in the stronghold of security and prosperity. That's just it. Pick one line. Make it yours. Speak. And as you are going through, you will see the Holy Spirit will flash it. Bam, that is it. Take it. Claim it for yourself. Claim it. Confess it. The more you confess it, the more it becomes, you become one with it. You know, if the book, Knowing God, this book. Read this book, I'm telling you. There's a chapter in there that talks about confessing. You know, the thing that you think about, it begins to manifest in you. You know, the things that you say, they begin to be part of your life. You know, this year, that is how our life will be. We will have testimonies this year. If you are with me, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this year is my year of testimony. Yes. I will have my testimony this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you were blessed this morning. Yes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, for this morning that you are calling us to this life of shalom, of jubilee, of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts and fresh oil. That even through Joseph, you used him to accomplish your end game. You have end game for each and every one of us, Lord. There is a plan for each and every one of us this year. I pray, oh Father, that we will all fit into that plan. Father, we will not listen to voices that are not your voice. We will not, Lord, give in to distractions. We will focus on that which you have for us this year. Father, we thank you, Lord. We claim everything, Lord, that is ours this year. We claim everything. There will be nothing missing, Father. There will be nothing broken. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.